Well, you know, I got to read the Word. I got to know the Word of God. No, you don't. You got to read the Word for you if you want some strength, and God can show you things in the Word of God. But let me remind you, there were people in the Old Testament that went to church every day. When did they go? Every day. They read the Word front to back, front to back, front. They knew the Word. And then Jesus walked in the midst of them, and did they know Him? No. You know why? They had a relationship with the church. They had a relationship with a rabbi. They had a relationship with everything going on, you see? They didn't have a relationship with who? Hallelujah. You got a relationship with God, see? We're preaching the Word here. We're preaching the honest Word here. There's no bondage. You don't do anything to earn it, amen? We talked, Deacon Chuck and I are blessed together. We spent some time and we talking. This church doesn't have any boundaries, any rules. We don't say you have to belong here, you have to do this, this, and believe that, amen? You simply got to believe the Word of God, amen? The Word of God sets you free, amen, from the bondage. There's so much trouble in the world today, especially with religion, because people look at a religion and judge us by what that religion says, amen? But you're all set free, don't worry about it, amen? It's all about God. It's all about you and Jesus together. He sets you free, amen? God is good. Can I get an amen on that? Hallelujah. So good for you in your life. On a Monday afternoon at 2:30, you can talk to God. Amen. You can confess to God. You can ask God. The more you talk with Him, and the more you feel that He's answering you. And let me tell you something. I've never heard His voice. I hear people on the platform that said they've heard God's voice. God bless them. I've never heard His voice. But I felt them right here. Amen. I felt when I was going the wrong way that He was leading me. I felt when bad things were happening, He'd straighten it out. This Friday, my wife and I performed. We did the big Christmas party, in Halloween party in Greenwich. One of our biggest shows of the year. We got all made up costumes. We were all having a lot of fun, and we got in the car, and I drove all the way to Greenwich, and I pulled in the parking lot, and I turned around, and I said, "We're in big trouble." She looked at me, and I said, "I left my guitar home." The only place that we perform, and that's the only place I could think of, where I know that they have two people in that facility that play guitar. And I walked in and I said, "Vinny, you got your guitar?" He said, "Absolutely." We had his guitar. We did our provide. Just gave God praise and glory and honor to that.
Because he dressed up like a hunter. So the minute he put them clothes on, everything goes blank in his head.
God is good. I went to New York and to the Adirondacks one time to deer hunt, brothers. Najee had to ask me. I drove all the way to the Adirondacks because a friend of mine, you know Wayne Williams, he had a cabin up there, invited me to go. I drove all the way up there 5 hours, and I pulled in, and I didn't have my arrows with me. All the way up, and I had no arrows. I went to this little pro shop in Herkimer, New York. Had no idea what I had to buy something. I bought something, and the next day I got a deer. I mean, that's just God, amen? And see, God, he takes something you think is bad, and He'll turn it around, amen? He'll find a way. God will make a way where there's not a way, amen? But you got to walk with Him. I mean, He's not there. He's not your snapping, jumping, but He knows when you love Him. He already knew that I forgot my guitar, see? He knew all the way to Greenwich I forgot my guitar. And we get there, and any other place that we perform, we'd have been said sorry, we couldn't play. But I know that this place has two people in the recreation department that entertain, and they both had their guitars there. So I actually had a choice of guitars, which one I wanted to use. And that's God. Hallelujah. Don't think God is in this spirit, is moving in this house. Listen to me. Don't look at me like I'm special. Please, don't look at me. I want you to focus on God. Amen. I want you to have a relationship with God. We all love each other here. But I want you to understand that this Spirit of God is alive in this church, amen? It's alive in this church for one reason, to lift us all up, amen? To lift us all up, to be better. How many want more than they have today? I do, amen? And I want it from God, amen? Because when God gives it to you, no man can take it from you. This is Psalm 51. Praise the Lord. Have mercy on me, O God, according to your unfailing love, according to your great compassion, blot out my transgressions.
Wash away all my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin.
For I know my transgressions, and my sin is always before me.
Against you only, have I sinned and done what is evil in your sight, so that you are proved right when you speak and justify.
Hallelujah. Surely I was sinful at birth, sinful from the time my mother conceived me.
Surely you deserve
with hyssop, and I will be clean. Wash me, and I will be whiter than snow.
Let me hear joy and gladness, but the bones you have crushed rejoice.
David wrote that psalm. He committed adultery. Amen. He committed murder. Amen. He lied. Amen. He knew. And who did he say he sinned against? He didn't say he sinned against his wife. He sinned against the husband of the other. He said, I sin against you, God, because I make you look bad. Amen. That's what he's saying. Against you and you alone I have sinned, David said, and done what is evil in your sight, so that they proved right when you speak. See, he's telling God, I did it. I did it, Lord. And so they can't blame you, Lord. They can't blame you. They got to blame me. And if you see, and when we read this, you'll understand that he begged for forgiveness. He got on his knees and acknowledged the fact that he sinned. Amen. He acknowledged it. And then right after he acknowledged that, he gave it to God. He also understood God. He also understood that God would what? Forgive him. Amen. God would forgive him for the transgressions that he... Because if you read the psalm a little further, you'll see that he's asking God for favor. Amen. The same, whatever time it took him to write that, it started out with, Lord, I am nothing. I am weak, Lord. I've sinned against you. And at the end of the psalm, he's saying, oh, by the way, bless me so I can bless others and help me with this and cleanse me. And because he knew that God was in the forgiving business. Amen. There was no talk of faith there. There was no talk. He just knew that God was in the forgiving business. Amen. And that's David. So whatever sins you think that you have committed, whatever things you're holding on to, you think that you're separated from God, it's a lie from the pits of hell. Amen. You ask God to forgive you. I could stand right here right now and say, Dale, your sins are forgiven. And you say, well, that's not quite how it works. David, your sins are forgiven. You say, who am I? I'm just a pastor. I'm the flock leader, amen? I can't forgive your sins, but who forgives your sins? And he does. Jesus, amen, God, right? So you say to God, you get on your knees and say, Lord, forgive me, for I have sinned against you. You know the wrongs that you did, the little things that you did, and it's almost, and I'm going to read it out of my Bible, but is God a liar? Is Jesus a liar? Did he tell us these things and lie? Did he trick us? Did he try to make it? No, he loves us. He came and died for us, amen? He died on the cross. He withstood that pain for us so that we could have justification. We can have a reason to knock on the door in the prayer room and walk right in, because he paid the price, amen? He paid the price with his blood so that you had redemption, amen? No matter what you do in life. You say, well, Pastor, does that mean I can sin all the time? Of course not. Because if you sin all the time, you're not living to God, amen? You're not living for God. You're playing a game with God, and God knows that. And just understand that he loves you so much that he did it for you freely, that you don't have to earn it. When God says you're forgiven, you don't have to get up and do 20 things after that. You don't have to walk around and pray for another hour. You know that, Walter? You don't. Once God forgives you, that's it. He's forgiven you, amen? Man can't forgive you. God forgives you, amen? There's nothing in the Bible that says a man. When they say you're healed, remember when the apostle said, he tells the apostles, go and heal the land? You know what he means by that? Go and tell them about me. And when they learn about me, their life is healed. Their life has changed. It's a new life, amen? You're not going to go and heal everybody. But when you learn about Jesus, new things happen in your life, amen? Do bad things happen? Amen, they do. Amen. We're going to play with Brenda. It was a 17-year-old girl in your school that just passed away this week. It passed away. She had brain cancer. Amen. Did that mean God didn't love her? Of course not. Amen. And in this time, here's where the comfort comes in, brothers and sisters, because there's no words in here right now that could add to the comfort. You could talk about eternal life. You could talk about heaven. But as a brother and a sister who love, you just hug them. Amen. When somebody goes through something like that, there's nothing we could say to make it better. In fact, there's a lot you could say to make it worse, to say more things that are ununderstanding right now. We'll understand it later. But with love, you just hold them. You just hold them and know that God will see them through. Amen. At the road is rough right now, but they'll know when they get through it and look back and they'll say, I don't know how I got through that. And then they'll sit up and say, God got me through that. Amen. And then they'll face other things in a way that they could not have faced them. Hallelujah. Bad things happen to good people. How many know that? It's a good time. And in the letter to the church from my desk, the bottom of the line just says, this is your time, David. This is your time to show people Christ, to show them. You don't have to tell them, well, you can show them, and the people will be drawn to. This is your time, Roger, for the goodness. This is your life. This is your season. Amen? Moses had a season. Noah had a season. Joseph had a season. Jacob had a season. This is your season to walk closer to God. Amen? To give people more hope. More hope. When somebody commits the final act of taking their life, and we just heard about a teenager that just did that also, too, because they think there's no hope in life. We've got to give people that hope. And it's in Christ that we do that. Amen? Not in the church. Because I'm telling you, people go to church 7 days a week and they leave and they do the same thing they did when they walked. They went, I went to church. I'm saved. I think I know God. You ask them, how many are you going to go to heaven? They're not sure. Amen? If I ask you if you're going to heaven today, I want everybody's hand up because you love Jesus. Amen? You know Jesus. You want to know more about. You say, well, I don't know how much I love him. It doesn't matter. Amen? He didn't care how much you loved him when he died on the cross. He loved you. Amen? He loved you first. And all you got to do is know his name, to know him, and you start to accept him. Amen? You sat down on that seat because you knew it would hold you up. You had faith in that. Amen? You go outside and you breathe in the air. You can't see the air. Amen? But you breathe in the air and you accept it. It's faith that there's oxygen out there. God is the same. You just got to believe. Say, I'm not sure, then forget about the I'm just say, I believe. You start on that path now. If you can say, I'm not sure, then you can say, I believe. I'm not sure how much I believe, but I believe. I've got to believe. What's the alternative? Nothing. There's no gain to the alternative. There's no joy in the alternative. Amen? There's nothing but God. God changes things. And oh, that I would be young like the young children. Kessie, thanks for coming back. I wish, because if I knew then that God would put dreams in my, like my music dreams, I would have followed my music in a different way. I would have followed. I would have went to Nashville. I would have played it. I would have done things differently if I knew God was behind me, going to open doors. I would have had more faith, and I would have been stronger to face the disappointments. Amen? Because it's the devil throwing the disappointments in to get us off track. You got it? God's got something for you, Miss Pat. He doesn't care about how old or how young you are. He's got something for you. And he's got it for you today. A joy that you might have not felt. George, he's got something for you today. He does. You just got to accept it and walk with it. And when you start walking with God, remember one other thing. As you talk about God, you're representing God. Amen? So we got to watch. We got to watch the words that we speak. We got to watch our attitudes. We got to watch how we judge other people. Because this Bible tells us not to judge other people. Amen? I don't care what they're doing in the world. Jesus didn't care what they're doing in the world. He came to save those who wanted to be saved. Amen? Before this, before the Ten Commandments, there was no sin. Nobody knew what was sin. I don't know. So Moses went to the mountain, and God gave him these. So we then knew what sin was. Amen? This is sin. These are things that will hurt other people. It will hurt you, and will hurt other people. Amen? If the world could just live by these 10 rules, imagine the difference in the world today. Amen? But because we have this, we needed something to save us from this. Because the Bible said man couldn't live by this. Are you with me? But in spirit, we could live by this because of what Jesus did on the cross. Amen? He set us free from the law. Are you with me? He set us free from this law, so there's nothing that ever keeps you from knocking on the prayer room and walking in the prayer room and saying, hi, Jesus, good morning, and getting on your knees and talking to him and praying to him. Amen? Because of what he did, you're justified. You could say, well, I did this, 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 and this, and Jesus said, I don't remember that because I shed my blood for those things that you do. I shed my blood as you can come here now. I don't remember any of that. I call you justified. You call me a liar. I call you saved. You call me a liar. I call you free from the sins of, and the bondage of sin. You're going to call God a liar. Who do you believe? Do you believe man's report? Do you believe somebody's report that says you're never going to be free from that? Or do you believe God's report? Who do you believe? Hallelujah. That's it. You don't believe me. Don't believe me. If you don't believe me, just read the Bible. Amen? There's no bondage here. There's no rules for membership. I don't care how much money you make a week. Your tithing is between you and God. There's freedom here to have joy in the world. We got two banners coming. Thank you, Lord. The piggy banks paid for them last year. The Yankee and the Red Sox Bank. You remember that? I got two banners coming, and it simply says on both of them, come home to Jesus. That's what this house is about, amen? For you to grow in Christ, to have hope, no matter what you're going through, that there's hope, Amen? Hallelujah. And the testimony today, besides me, how many miss the hug Miss Pat gives you walking in the door? Praise God. Marilyn, can you put that in the bulletin that it was unanimous? Just once in Washington. Could there be? No, I'm going. That's God. She won't let anybody fall. She doesn't care about your life. She doesn't care of the sins. She don't care. She loves you. Amen? She hugs you and lifts you up. Oh, I'm not. No, she said, no, you're not. You're a family member. I love you. This church found, she came to this church, thank God her and Tom came. I knew them from the other church. When they walked in, I said, something special. If she finds the Spirit here, something special will be. And every week we walk in and she gives, everybody gets a hug from her, everybody. And that's God, see? That's the church. That's where you walk into a church and just like the song in Cheers, where everybody knows your name. When you're not here, we all miss each other, amen? I need to get the deacons fired up. I'm praying that we get elders. Elders are somebody that knows the Word of God, that trusts the Word of God, that we can trust when somebody has a problem, because the pastor's not enough. Amen? The hours that we want to spend are not enough in our life. We need deacons to bring people and sit down with people, and we need elders to feed people the Word when they're in times of trouble. Amen? That's when. And I'm ready to relinquish. I'm ready to say, here's the elders. These are the people that you need to, you know, you come to me, but you come to them. We're all together. Amen? But we're a family growing together, amen? And when we grow together, that means sometimes we have to let other people do certain things because we all don't have the time. We didn't have the time to plant and the flowers out there. Arden Gladys said, I'm going to come do it. And then they put the flowers out. And then Joseph and Mary, they put the flowers in. And other people painted it. And other things are getting done, amen? Because this is your house, amen? And I'm ready to see a growth, and I'm ready to shed some of the responsibility so that the house continues to grow, amen? We can't let division in this house. And Miss Pat is the perfect greeter for this church, and we miss her, amen? That's the testimony. Give God praise and glory. She was missed today, Mary. Y'all, quiet. You don't have to be so quiet. That's okay. As long as you're happy. Are you happy? Praise God. God didn't promise us to be happy, but He said our joy would be exceedingly great. Joy on top of joy. That's what I'm looking for. Thank you, Lord. Let's pray together. Oh, Lord, You're so wonderful. Thank You for this day, Lord. Lord, we pray for those who are searching for You that they'll be found. We pray that the empty seats in here will be filled with people wanting more of You, coming here for the peace and the comfort and the freedom to come and worship as a family. We lift up those in need this morning, Lord, to touch them, heal them, keep them strong, keep that family we just mentioned, Lord. Nothing we can say will give them the comfort, Lord. You have to do that. We trust in You to do that, Lord, just the comfort and the quiet of a hug and the peace, knowing that they'll get through this too. We lift up our friends and family here who we see that we've missed, Lord, ask You to heal them. Heal them, Lord. That's right. Heal them in Your name, Lord. Heal them. Even today. The things that we can ask for, the joys that we can have, the things that we would miss because we don't ask. You have not because you ask not, the Bible says. We have not because we ask not. The joys that we miss because we don't spend more time with You, Jesus. Today we're spending time with You, Lord. I pray today that these people get on fire for You, to lit on fire, get on fire, so that they want to tell others, they want to be excited, they're proud of their church. That kind of proud is from You, Lord. That pride just to say, please come, our God is good. I love our Father in heaven. I love our Jesus. Come and see. Come and see that God's got something for you. Come and be with us. Thank You, Lord, for this church, this building. Thank You for this day that wasn't promised yesterday. This is our time with You, our time to do great things and feel Your great love. We just want more of that. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Hear our prayer, O Lord.
this morning. Hallelujah. Let me ask you, don't raise your hands. You were all here last Sunday. Those of you, did you talk to God this week? Did you talk to Jesus? Did you find him while you were driving in the car, taking a shower? Did you talk, hey God, how you doing? Did you see the beauty this week of what God did? We were driving on country roads, and the yellows and the golds and the reds were just, I mean, it was magnificent. My wife says to me, I bet she says it five times a day. What'd you say? I said, no, I'm talking to God. Thank you, Lord. I thank you, Lord. Look at it's just so beautiful. Amen. That God loves you so much. Whatever you're going through, he said, I'm going to carry you through it. Come focus on me. I'll lead you the way. I'll help you with that. I'll open a door for you. Amen. Hallelujah. Did you spend some time, you and him, saying thank you? What a great day. What a great thing. Oh, you know, because let me tell you, Dale, he already knows your needs before you ask him. You see, I tell you to have that conversation with God, one-on-one all the time with Jesus. Like, make Jesus is in the car with you or in the house with you. Just have that conversation with him. You and him, don't share with other people. Oh, this is what I told God. God says, no. I said, he's a jealous God. He wants you to have him one-on-one. And then when he answers a prayer, or when he finishes a thought, or when he puts the psalm in the bulletin that I'm going to preach on today, amen, without me talking to Marilyn about it, without anybody knowing, God did something. I'm thinking, well, if God did that, that sounds like something so small. He's just saying, look, I'm here for you, amen. I'm not here for the church. The rich man in the Bible, remember the rich man? He had everything. He was a good man. He was a successful man. He had a lot of money. He had a business that was so good. He was a good, and guys, what do I need to do? He said, Lord, I've never sinned. I've never hurt anybody. I never stole from anybody. I didn't do anything. I did all the, I've lived my life that way. I'm a good man. And he was a good man. And he said to Jesus, what do I need? What do I need to have eternal life? And Jesus, knowing in his heart, he said, sell all you have, give it away, and you follow me, and you will have treasures in heaven. See? And if people say, oh, God wants you to be poor. No. God knew that the one thing he would hold on to was his riches. Amen? He knew that that was something that he could not say. Because, and here's a God, and I'm telling you, God, if he gave up what he had, God would have multiplied it seven times over. Amen? Completely. Amen? He thought that he'd lost something, and God would have replaced it more. But he didn't have that enough faith for the eternity. See, he was a good man. Amen? He knew the Bible. Amen? He was a good man. He understood the word. He lived a good life. But he wasn't willing to give up the thing that kept him from God. And one of the probabilities and one of the things I'm thinking about is he's probably thought to himself, well, and he went away. The Bible said he walked away. And he's thinking, well, I can go back to my church and I can keep all my riches and I can keep my stature and I can keep my business and I don't have to. So I'll just go back to where I feel comfortable and I'll just go there and that's what he did. He left, amen. But God doesn't take away, amen. And he doesn't want us to be poor. How many know that God doesn't want you to be poor? He wants you to prosper. The Bible says he wants you to have good success. If he's put something in your hand, Deacon Chuck, if he's put a talent in your hand, Marilyn, something that he's blessed you to with, I'm telling you that if you give it to him and you start to do it unto him with joy, he will bless the works of your hand. You will not have to look for anything else because he's given you a gift. All you need to do is commit yourself and do it and with joy. Amen. Don't fear about tomorrow. Some people are getting saved. I don't know if I'm going to have enough money for tomorrow. God said, I'm going to take care of tomorrow when you get there. Amen. You got enough trouble today. You worry about today. He'll take care of tomorrow. Amen. But he'll touch you and he'll move you in talents and he'll move you with gifts. If you stay in the will of God. Amen. You stay on the track with him. Are you with me? There's so much peace to be found. If you start to talk to God, it becomes a habit. And that's a good habit. Amen? Are you with me? Hey, how many remember when you were kids and all the other kids said, my father's bigger than your father? Anybody ever say that? Remember? My father's stronger than your father. My father can beat your father. Guess what? Our Father in heaven is the greatest. Our Father in heaven. Amen? That's your father. And you got to brag about him like that. You got to tell people about him. Are you with me? People might say you're crazy, but I'll say you're crazy not to do it. You got to acknowledge him. And I'm going to say this again before I read. God's grace is free. Say that with me. God's grace is free. Unmerited favor is free. What he did on the cross to you is free. There's nothing else you have to do. There's no commitment you have to make except love him. There's no other thing. You don't have to go in the corner and say 50 things to get. God said you're free. Amen. He died on the cross for who? To be free, amen, from the bondage. He didn't do it because you believed him. He didn't do it because the world wanted. He did it because he wanted to. He came from heaven, came to earth, became human like us, flesh. He walked in it. He got beat in it. He got temptation in it, amen. And he faced all that and got on that cross so we could be free, amen. Free from that. And we don't want to build walls in this church, amen. We don't want to separate people. I don't care who walks through that door. If they want to know about God, they're our brothers and our sisters. Amen. If they come and they stay, then I pray this is where God planted them. Amen. This is where God brought them to get fed the word of God. Amen. And when they see your joy, they will want to be here. Amen. When they see that, they see people talking at the time churches, but they're going to say, this is, and then at the end of church, which is even funnier, y'all sitting around, my wife and I can't get out the door, y'all, and like she says, in some other places, they are.
You get to the door first.
And they get out the door. Amen? This is your home with God. Amen? And you're making it that way by the painting, by the inside, by the outside. Good things are happening. Hallelujah. But now the righteous... I'm sorry, this is Romans 3:21. But now the righteousness of God, apart from the law, is revealed. Apart from the law. When I say the law, brothers and sisters, this is what I'm talking about. Are you with me? Being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God, through faith in Jesus Christ, to all and on all. To who? Who believe. To all and on all who believe. For there is no difference. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Who has sinned? Hallelujah. Being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. He's saying right here that we have all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, but we're justified. Amen. We're put in a place that's right with God. Freely. How are we putting in? Did you have to pay for it? Did you have to do work in the yard? Did you have to do anything? Did you have to say penance? Did you have to do anything? Well, how was it given to you? It's given to you freely. And when you tell somebody, I can go talk to God anytime I want to, they look at you and you say, yes, I can, because he loves me and he did it for me. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. By his grace through redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God set forth as a propitiation by his blood. God paid the price. He paid the price. All the things you're worrying about, he already paid the price. Amen? Somebody buys you dinner. Do you say, oh, no, I'm going to pay for dinner too? Somebody gives you something, you say, no, I'll pay for it too. Then it's not a gift, is it? Hallelujah. By his blood, through faith, to demonstrate his righteousness. Because in his forbearance, God had passed over the sins that were previously committed. You understand that? He's passed over the sins. To demonstrate at the present time his righteousness, that he may be just and the justifier of the one who has faith in God. Who is the justifier? God is the justifier. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Where is the boasting then? It is excluded. Listen to this. By what law of works? No. But by the law of faith. Paul says, therefore we conclude that a man is justified by faith apart from the deeds of the law. Or he is the God of the Jews only? No. Is he not only the God of the Gentiles? Yes, of the Gentiles also. That's us. Since there is no God, no one God who will justify the circumcised by faith and the uncircumcised through faith. Do we then make void the law through faith? Certainly not. On the contrary, we establish the law. Listen to this. What then shall we say that Abraham our father has found according to the flesh? For if Abraham was justified by works, he has something to boast about, but not before God. But what does the scripture say? Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Now to him who works, the wages are not counted as grace, but as debt. Paul is telling us if you have to do something to earn God's grace, amen? You have to do something to earn his forgiveness. That means all of a sudden it's a debt that he pays you back, amen? It's not something given freely, amen? He's given it to you freely, the Bible says, freely. You don't have to pay for it because he's done it already, amen? It's a gift. Grace is a gift. These things that we're living in, all the good things are gifts from who? God. To who? You. One-on-one. Say that with me. One-on-one. I just pray that people accept the forgiveness. Hallelujah. We're going to get to that. But to him who does not work, but believes on him who justifies the ungodly, his faith is accounted for righteousness. He's saying, for him who doesn't try to do right by God, who doesn't try to prove God, who doesn't try to work for God, who doesn't try to get their deeds seen by God, but just believes in God, his faith is righteousness. Just as David also describes in the blessedness of the man whom God imputes righteousness apart from his works. Listen. Blessed, that means in a place of favor. Say that with me. A place of favor are those whose lawless deeds are forgiven and whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord shall not impute sin. You're in a place of favor. Are you with me? Jeremiah 17:7. Blessed is the man who trusts God in a place of favor and whose hope is in the Lord. For he shall be like a tree planted by the waters, which spreads out its roots by the river, and it will not fear when heat comes, but its leaves will be green and will not be anxious in the year of drought, nor will cease from yielding fruit. How many love God in here this morning? Are you with me? I want you to feel Jesus' presence in your life. I want you to talk to him. I want you to know him. I want you to trust him. I want you to know that whatever life you have, because my life is different than yours, Walter, amen? And Jim Howe's life is different than yours. And every art is different from yours. So I want you to have a walk with Jesus and have a talk with Jesus and find that he's with you, that he changes things, amen? He changes you first, amen? He changes your attitude, how you want to dress, how you want to look, how you want to act, how you want to talk, amen? And as you start to walk with God and your goodness starts to flow out, guess what happens? Other people see that, Miss Pat. And then they want to be with you, amen? They want to walk with you. They want to call you up and say, how you doing? They want to spend time with you, amen? Because you're different than the world, amen? You got friends, you got anybody calls you up and all they do is complain when they call you up, tell you about their troubles when they call you. And God bless our little daughter. Our daughter does that sometimes because she needs her mama so much and she misses her. Then I know that when she calls her, everything comes out and she's complaining about the in-laws or this. And it just, we start laughing because she gets so contained with that we have to stop her and then just start talking about love and talking about life again. Amen. But when you're following God, see, other people want to call you. They want to talk to you. They want to hear something good. They want to know that something good is happening. Amen. You got friends who need this. Amen. The world needs this book. Amen. They need to know him that way. This church isn't about me. This church isn't about me at all. I just come here to give you this. Paul said, preach the word. When I first came here, I said, that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to preach the word. Amen. And I did give a lot of opinions. I did. I try not to. Each week that I started, each week that I grew, I said, when I give an opinion, I'll raise my hand and I'll say, this is my opinion. Amen. Because I wanted to make sure that we were in the right frame with God. Amen. We were right with God. But he's changed my life so much. He brings joy. He brings joy and comfort and peace and love. Amen? Does that mean you're not going to argue with your wife? No, it doesn't mean that. Our wives argue. It doesn't mean anything like that. Does it mean you're going to be perfect and never have car trouble? No, it doesn't mean that. But when you have those things and you forget your guitar and go all the way to Greenwich where my day could have been absolutely... I mean, this is... He says, no... I know you forgot your guitar, but I didn't say anything to you because I know that when you get there, something will be good. Amen? You ever get a red light? How many get frustrated at a red light? You start looking at God and saying, okay, there's something on the other side of that light you didn't want me to be around. I'm going to sit at the light. And if you don't see anything, so what? Maybe there was something there that could have happened, amen? Or somebody, he puts something, a roadblock in your path. You want to start something, you want to do something, and you can't get it started. Maybe he's saying, because I don't want you to do that, you're only going to get hurt doing that. Amen? We got behind a guy this morning. He pulled in. He had a big dump truck, and he had a big payloader in the back of it, a big bulldozer in the back. And he was doing 6 miles an hour going up the hill. And we thought we left on time. And I said, can you believe this? I said, no, it's okay. We'll just follow this guy because maybe there was a deer up ahead I would have hit, or maybe there was something else I would have. We didn't see anything. We didn't know anything. But see, my first instinct was to go, you know what? God's proverb, there's something up there, and he put that person in front of me. Am I crazy? You betcha. But I'm crazy on the side of Jesus, amen? You got a problem at work with your boss. You give it to God. You say, you know what? Here's what I can do. I can work unto Jesus. I can show up on time. I can be dressed right. I can talk right. I can act right. I can do my work. And I'll forget that person even exists. I'll give it to God, amen? And then something has to change. That person has to change. Your boss has to change. Or maybe God said, I got another job for you that's even better, amen? Hang on to your hat for a while. Hang on and trust me for a while, amen? You got kids, you got a professor, you got a kid, you got a teacher at school. Maybe you don't like that teacher. Maybe you don't think the teacher. So you start praying before you walk in that classroom. And you sit down and you say, Lord, we're just not hitting it off, this guy or this woman and I. But Lord, I'm going to pray to you. Help me. Help me be better. Help me have a smile. Let my eyes show a spirit that I'm going to look past the teacher. And I'm going to do my work even better. Because that's how you prove the people who come against you wrong. Amen? And then God sees. God sees, and sometimes he tests. I'm sorry, but sometimes God tests you. He wants to see your dedication. He wants to see your heart. How strong are you going to be? Are you really going to do what you say you're going to do? Because when I give it to you, you better do it right. Amen? So sometimes you'll say, so you might hit a roadblock or two, but you say, no, this is between me and who? Yeah, this is between me and Jesus. Yeah, and I don't like this teacher, but you know what's between me and Jesus? Yeah, that didn't work out well, but I'm still between me and Jesus. And all of a sudden, Jesus opens the door. All of a sudden, there's a smile. All of a sudden, something different happens. And you see, that was you and God, see? See, you're talking to God. Nobody else knows you had a problem there. You talk to God, and God moves it. Amen? Hallelujah. You get a bad report from the doctor. We all get bad, we do bad reports. We see it all the time. You say, no, this is between me and you, God. I know what they say. I know what you say. I'm going to lean on what you say because you give me the comfort, and I'll face this, but you give me the comfort and you carry me through. And as he carries you through, you'll understand that it was you and God walking together. Maybe this is a roving time. Marcy, remember I said that roving time? And I got that from somebody years ago, roving time. I mean, maybe this is your time to really know that you know God. Amen. Maybe this is the time that you walk through a fire, that you get to the other side of the fire, and there's nothing else that could ever doubt in your life that God exists for who? For the church? No, for you. Amen. Give him praise and glory, brothers and sisters. That's your God. We're going to do Psalm 51 too next week. And so I want you to know that the forgiveness and the glory and to believe. Believe. Just take the forgiveness and believe it. Amen. Don't let a sin that you committed get so deep inside of you that you can't even let God forgive you. Amen. That's an arrogance telling God you're a liar. I know that I did this. I know that it was wrong. God said I've forgiven you for it. Amen. Because if you carry that in you, it will get bigger and bigger and it will stop you from your joy. For if you forgive man their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Hallelujah. God forgave you. As you forgive others, he will bless you back with that. When you forgive others, it relieves the stress of worrying about what people did for you, did to you, how much they owe you, whatever. Well, as you forgive others and you walk away and you leave them alone, and when they call you, you be nice to them, because that confuses the enemy. Amen? When you forgive others and you walk away, when you remember remove something, and who can replace it? God, amen? God can replace it into you. So you've removed the dirt and replaced it with the Spirit, amen? We're living in one Spirit. We did this because we got one Spirit. You got five senses. You know the five. Feel, see, touch, and smell. But you got one Spirit inside you, amen? One Spirit that controls everything. And when we're in the same Spirit, God does miraculous things. And when you forgive, God does miraculous things. Amen. That's your God. That's why you come to church. You want to know this. You don't want to see the dirt in the world. You don't want to see the pain in the world. You want something for you and Jesus. Amen. Me and Jesus got our own thing going. I know it's a crazy song. There's an old country western singer that sang it, Tom T. Hall. But that song is so real. Amen. That's where sometimes people laughed at me with the country music at the other church I was in. And I said, but the songs are so pure. They're so real. Me and Jesus. I don't need a symphony to tell you about it. I don't need to hear the choir singing. I mean, the choir sings beautiful. Amen? But it's when me and Jesus. That's when it really touches you. Amen? There's some ministry. Let me just one more that I read about. They say, well, we read the Word of God. If I stood up here on a Sunday and I just read the Word of God and closed the book, what would you get? Well, we read the Word of God. They say that every 3 years, they read the entire Bible. So you actually hear more of the God. And I said, no, people will fall asleep. And every year, they do the same circle. So they start in one place, and they preach about the same thing every year. Every year they do, or they read the Word. And it could be 40 weeks before they get to something that pertains to you. Amen? They could read things for weeks that have nothing to do with you and your life and change anything. And then they go, well, that you'll hear it again in 3 years. And they think that they've given you the Word of God. They just read something to you. Amen? It's you that God wants. Amen? It's you that God wants one-on-one. He wants you to read His Word so He can feed you. I could read this book. Pastor told me many years ago, I love the guy. He said, when you read the Bible, when you open the Bible, if you find something that doesn't make any sense to you, he said, turn the page. Go somewhere in here, something touches your life every day. Amen? Give Him praise. I'm sorry.
That's it. That one hug that Miss Pat gives you is like a miraculous. It's like, I love you. She doesn't even know who you are. She don't care who you are. She loves you because she loves God. Hallelujah. I wish that people would hear this in the way that Jesus wanted it to. You're forgiven for your sins. We sin daily. The Bible says we fall short daily. So if we fall short daily, why are we hanging on to something we did 5 years ago, 10 years ago? Well, He's saying, I'm forgiving you. He did it on the cross. He did it for free. Amen? So that you would have the right to go and talk to God. He took the bread and blessed it and said, this is my body being torn for you. He said, I'm going to stand in the gap. I'm going to take all these sins upon myself. And He simply asked that we do this in remembrance of Him. Happy. You ever think about making Jesus happy? You ever think about making God happy? Do you know how much joy Jesus has when you come to Him and His Father blesses you, answers your prayer? He loves His Father so much for the glory of His Father. He sees His Father glorified by you every time He answers a prayer and you say, thank you, Lord. That thank you, Lord, must ring in heaven like bells that we've never heard before. And Jesus is saying, that's my Father. That's my Father. That's why I came. That's my Father. And He's doing it for you. He's lifting you up. He's saving you. He's answered your prayers. Amen? You're making God happy. You ever think about making God happy like that? Jesus is so proud. Just like you were maybe of your father or your mother or somebody in your life that touched you. You want to make them proud. Jesus feels the same way about our Father. Where's our Father? Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, guys. Aha. You got pastoritis. By His blood, our sins are forgiven, and Jesus simply asked to do this in remembrance of Him, in Jesus' name.